wonderful people, and welcome or welcome back to A Teen's POV, where we discuss the raw reality of modern teenage life through all its ins and outs. How are we all doing today? I hope you're having a wonderful day. I'd like to say something, and I can't believe we're already up to the 15th episode and I haven't said this, but someone was asking me about the podcast, and it never occurred to me that people wouldn't know what POV stands for. I mean, if you're Gen Z, or probably, you'd probably know what it stands for, I'm assuming. But in case you didn't know what POV stands for, it stands for point of view. So when I came up with the name for the podcast, I had a few options to name it. I could name it from the perspective of a teen, but there's so many things out there that are similar to what I'm doing, which is great, because the more the merrier. And like, if you don't like one podcast that's saying something in one way, then you might like another podcast that's saying the same thing but in a different way. And thank you to those people out there for being who are here, who are listening to me, who like my method, who like listening to me. So let's get straight into it. If you looked at the episode name for this week, well, not week, but for today, for this episode, is Failing Gracefully. And I'd like to shout out to episode 8, which is called Self-Criticism, Academic Validation, and Perfectionism. Now, the special thing about this episode is that aside from the episode, the very first episode, because that's the one episode in this whole podcast that has been doing the best, but it seems like a lot of people are interested in hearing about the whole self-criticism, academic validation, and perfectionism sort of thing. So, and lucky for you, that's something that I too struggle with and that I'm working on all of the time. I'm working on all of these things all of the time, but this is the one thing that I struggle with the most. So it's not going to be easy to talk about, but there are a few things that I find help me when it comes to being really harsh on yourself to perform in a certain way or to succeed. And so hopefully I'll be able to help you. And I think I might make it a series. I don't know. I can make it a series. But yeah, let me know if you want to hear more about that, because I know that a lot of you are interested in listening about that. But I have two stories that I'd like to start off with. The first one is actually how I came up with this title. And some of you may know that I am doing the IB, which is the full form is the International Baccalaureate Diploma Program. That's its full form. And you can like go search it up if you want, but basically it's like an international program study where you have to it's kind of like any other academic program, but it's like notoriously known to be one of the hardest, if not the hardest, in the entire world. Yeah, I don't really know what I was thinking when I chose it, but anyway, here we are. And so it's quite tough. The first year of IB is tough if you haven't done IB before. And I found that as a person who in the past has been used to getting academic validation, or getting a lot of their worth from the way that they perform in any discipline, but especially academically, it was kind of a blow to the gut when I was struggling, or not struggling, but like found this new challenge and my marks weren't as good as they have been previously. And so I was talking to one of my teachers about this, and we talked about the concept of failing gracefully. And see, I've always known that failure is a part of success. But I guess the lesson never really stuck, or I didn't really, you know, practice what I preached, in that sense that, like, while I knew and was aware of the fact, I still didn't really apply it in my brain, and I was still really harsh on myself every time I didn't perform as well as I expected myself to. And actually, we'll get into that more into expectations later in this episode, but I'd like to start, and now that I've started with that story, that's the foundation. Now there's another story, and it will lead on to this large extended metaphor that I'm going to use throughout the whole thing. So, picture this. A student who is achieving academic success. They're attractive, more than well off financially, and get everything they want. To you, they're living the perfect life, right? And who wouldn't want to live it too? But when you take back the layers of this seemingly perfect person's story, the foundations of our perceptions begin to crumble. And you see the pressure from their parents, the stress to fit in, the unachievable expectations, and the insanity of it all. Beneath all of this, what does this person ask themselves? What is the point in walking down this road if I cannot be happy? And that's not to say that good grades means depression. I mean, sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. And I've heard that from uni students too. But sometimes you need to weigh out what's more important to you. What's more worth it? And if you feel like you're walking down a similar road, no matter the circumstance, so if it's for a really intense sport that you might be training to go to the Olympics for, or anything that you want to do in the future, that's what we're going to be addressing in this episode. And you and me both will be walking through how we can all learn to fail gracefully. And trust me, I'm still working on it too. So we can do it together. Now, I've got this example of the perfect student and the road that I mentioned before that they're walking down is what I like to call the road of asphalt. And the road of asphalt metaphor is what I'm going to be using today. But before I explain it fully, I just want to say where I got it from. So, I love watching K-dramas. And there's this one Korean show called The Sound of Magic, where the student that I, like, the perfect student that I kind of explained is basically kind of like a character in the show. And the road of asphalt is what he calls this path, life path, that his parents have set out for him, that he doesn't realize that he's mindlessly walking down without really making his own decision on what he wants. And he realizes that later on. And I remember something that he asked or thought was, must I walk down this road of asphalt which my parents have paved for me? And in any case, it could be even you who paved the road, but here's what that road symbolizes: perfection, success, pride. Sounds pretty good, right? But there's also the hopelessness, pressure, and unreachable expectations. Perfect is a concept, not a reality. And it's also subjective, I think. Nothing can really be objective if you are a human being, because humans are subjective creatures. And once more, I'd like to reiterate that failure is a part of success, despite the notion of the road of asphalt betraying otherwise. Because this perfect road of asphalt that's been paved is, you can even imagine it in your head, metaphorically, is this just linear road of achievement where there is no room to go off the path or trip or fall and fail. But in reality, that's not how it works. It's our success isn't linear, ever. There's always, I can't really say it's non-linear, because that would be too simple, but it's not linear. There's always going to be ups and downs and bumps and cracks and, yeah, that's what we need to learn to do, is learn how to veer off this road of asphalt. And that's what this episode is about. Learning how to get off the road of asphalt and accept our supposed failures as part of the process. And I can't really say much, since I too am quite harsh on myself, but we can work through it together. And obviously take everything that I say with a grain of salt, because this is just my opinion and what works with me. And maybe it will work on you too. But I've been working on it myself, using a few things that have helped me improve so far. So the first one is initially being able to accept failure, accept defeat. And I know it sounds lame, like it sounds like you're losing, but in reality, it's only the first step in order to win, or in order to succeed, is accepting defeat. Here is an example to kind of put it into perspective. So, when we're young, how do we learn to never touch the stove when it's hot? We touch it, it burns us, and then we learn, oh, okay, don't touch the stove when it's hot. We don't get upset that we didn't know before. We just accept it and learn for the future and move on. It's the same with academic success or the discipline which you spend the most time on. Maybe music, for example, if you're a musician or whatever. Whatever's most important to you. But failing is just a rung on the ladder of success. It's the first step, and it's one of the hardest steps, especially if you're a perfectionist or someone who is critical of themselves. But just before anything, just accepting and knowing that, okay, I didn't get the best marks. That's fine. I didn't perform the best that I could have in This Is Stedford, or I didn't get the mark that I wanted, or I didn't place how I wanted, or I didn't win my 100 meters. I don't know. Whatever's important to you. Just accepting that, okay, this happened, but it's not the be-all and end-all. And I know that in some cases, some people think that there are times when it is the be-all and end-all. And I can think of very few circumstances when this is the case. Like, even with your end-of-school exams, I can't really say agency, because I know that not everyone listening is from Australia. But, you know, your end of school exam, some people think that they're the be all and end all. And while they do have a lot of importance in how easily you might get to where you want to go, there's still always ways. And if you're someone like me who really needs to take a sugar pill sometimes when it comes to stress, I'm getting better though. I'm getting better. But yeah, we just need to be able to accept that. Okay. It is what it is. And just move on. Just like we would have once when we were younger, learning not to touch the stove when it's hot. And once we've accepted, the fact that we didn't do so well, we need to be able to look at those marks, those results, without judgment. And yeah, easier said than done. I know. And sometimes it's really like, oh, not sometimes, most of the time, it's extremely difficult to not attach your worth to the way that you perform, because that's just the society that we've kind of been brought up in, or like that's what our society at the moment values. And I think that things are changing slowly, but I've definitely mentioned this in other episodes or before, but hustle culture and like productivity is extremely valued in today's society. And actually, even statistics are showing that because less and less people globally are settling down and getting married and having kids because they're more career focused, which I think is interesting, but that's a bit of a tangent. So looking at our results without judgment. And first of all, when you do start, because it's going to happen. So when you do start judging yourself for, I don't know, getting less than 50% on that exam, just for example, say for example, and you think to yourself, oh my God, I actually am so dumb. I can't believe I didn't do well and blah, blah, blah. And I wish that I could be like so-and-so who did so much better than me, and why can't I just be better? And I studied so hard, but I still didn't get the mark that I wanted. You know, all of those thoughts. 'Cause they're going to happen, or they're at least going to start. And what our job is to notice that, okay, I just, out of habit, I just thought something bad about myself due to my performance, but that's fine. And sometimes I find that crying does help. Sometimes, I don't know, maybe that's just me, because I do cry a bit. I mean, I don't cry a lot, but I am quite emotional. Sometimes if you want to cry, cry. Just put on a timer so that you don't cry for too long. And some people laugh at me when I say this, but I'm not joking. If you put on a timer and cry, just cry your eyes out, scream and cry to the world for as much as you like for that however long. I usually put my timers for 10 minutes, depending on how I'm feeling. And then you force yourself to stop crying after that amount of time. It's healthy because you're letting everything out and it's cathartic. But then it's also healthy because you're not lingering on the emotion for too long. And you're not lingering, like, instead of feeling bad about it for a whole day, a whole week, and, like, crying every now and then, or like crying consistently but for short amount of time, you can just let it all out in one chunk, like, I don't know, like vomiting, I don't know, that's the only example that I can think of off the top of my head. Our bodies vomit because they're getting out everything or like getting out a bug or getting out something bad that we ate all in one go. We don't vomit in little bits. I mean, sometimes we do, but that's not the best feeling, is it? Like, getting it all out in one go is so much better. And I did have another example, but I think it's too far gone. So we'll stick to the vomit. I'm sorry if that's a graphic that some of you didn't want to see, but you get the idea. So just letting it all out in one go, or writing about it, getting it out on paper, or journaling, letting out how you feel on paper is also good because it gets it out of your mind and onto somewhere else physical. And that's why I try to stray away from typing and stay with writing, because I don't even know, it just feels better to physically, you know, with your hand, write something out onto physical paper. But once we let it out, you need to understand also that you shouldn't feel guilty for the way that you feel. And honestly, I need to start taking my own advice. Like, it's okay. I understand if you're like this. I understand too, because I sometimes feel guilty for feeling the way that I do. But that's okay, because we need to be able to mourn our unmet expectations. And that's healthy, but it's not healthy to linger on that emotion for too long. So what? So far, we've accepted that we didn't do so well. And wait, this just came to my head. I think it's really funny, or like, fitting that, two weeks ago, I did my half yearly exams, and then last week we started getting our marks back, and we've got almost all of our marks back. So if anyone else is in the same boat, I guess this episode will be of perfect timing. But yeah, okay, so we've accepted the mark for what it is, not attaching any derogatory terms or anything negative towards it, just looking at it as a mark without judgment, and we've mourned our expectations, if we had expectations. Which we will get to in a sec, because most of this stems from having expectations in the first place. But now the next step is to take action. And usually the whole learning process, after the accepting, the whole learning process of like looking at our performance without judgment and mourning our unmet expectations will take different amounts of time for different people. And for me, it used to be a really long time, but I think shortening that time is how you know that you're improving, and you don't have to force that. It'll just come naturally, because maybe 4 years ago, that time when I got a bad mark on anything, that learning process time and mourning what I didn't get took far longer than it should have, which is okay, because it was all subconscious and I didn't know. But now it's like probably maybe at maximum a day, at minimum like an hour or so, or like, you can't really put any time limit to these things, and it really depends on what the importance is to you. But sometimes I don't even mourn the mark at all. And I'll get to how you can get to that point. But yeah, that action. What can I do next? This is the important part, because it makes you feel like after everything that you've been through, you're still getting something out of your failure. And that's the whole point, is to be able to accept that failure is just a rung on the ladder of success. we need to be able to take action from the, I don't know, data. That's what I want to say. The data that we get, which is failure. But I think that attaching that word to it, the negative word to it, just makes it feel bad. But if you just try to look at it objectively, and I know before I said that humans are subjective creatures, but if you at least try to look at it objectively and look at it as mere data and nothing else, you can see, oh, okay, so this is what I'm good at. And always start with that. Always start with, okay, this is what I'm good at, because then it gives you motivation to want to be able to improve the things that you're not so good at. So you look at, okay, this is what I did really well in, and this is where I could probably improve. And then from there, that's where you, that's where you tailor your goals towards the things that you're lacking in. And this doesn't just, I know I've made plenty of disclaimers like this, but this doesn't necessarily have to be academically. It can be for whatever you spend the most time on and whichever discipline is most important to you. And for goals, I don't really like consciously do my goals like that, but I'm pretty sure if I looked back on some of my goals, they'd meet all of these standards. So I don't know if you guys have heard of SMART goals. Our school is kind of always spoon-feeding this term to us, but if you don't know what they are, SMART goals, SMART is an acronym. It stands for S, specific, M, measurable, A, attainable, R, relevant, and T, time-based. And I'm not going to spend too much time explaining that because it takes a simple Google search. But yeah, basically, after we've gotten past that, you know, mourning stage or the learning stage, we move into the action stage, because it's a powerful feeling after feeling so hopeless and worthless. Well, not necessarily, but you know what I mean. Some really negative or not great feelings that are at the bottom of the Abraham Hicks emotional guidance scale. You take action and kind of move up the scale. And if you don't know what the Hicks emotional guidance scale is, do be sure to go to episode 5, which is called Swimming, Not Drowning in Your Feels and Breaking Through Overwhelming Emotions, because I go into that in lots of detail there. Now, after the action, I'm sure we'll all see improvement, because I have tried this very process multiple times and have always seen improvement. And I think that the next time you get, or you have some big thing, I don't know, big exam, big performance, big Stedford, whatever it is, don't look at your mark and attach terms to it. Look at it for what it is and compare it to your previous mark. And if it's the same, then that's fine. At least we're going steady. And if it's improved, that is what we should be celebrating, whether it's from a 10% to a 30% or an 80% to a 90%. Either way, it's still improvement, and I think that's what should be celebrated, not the actual mark or performance itself. Now, the thing that I mentioned about expectations that can actually really help minimize the harm of this endless cycle of perfectionism, self-criticism, is the actual setting of expectations before and during and after the whatever it is. I'm just using exam as an example because that's what it is for me. But for me personally, when regarding exams, this is what I've started doing anyway, because it helps me. I take everything as it comes and I try to not even like, I try not to set any expectations whatsoever. Like I don't know if that makes sense, but like instead of, you know, some people say, oh, keep your expectations low. No, I try to just not set expectations whatsoever. And I know that's hard because subconsciously that's what we're going to do naturally. But if you just, it all kind of happens at a subconscious level. So I think that if you make that conscious effort 90% of the time to kind of unravel your expectations, which, once again, easier said than done, like, it takes time. So don't expect too much too soon. See? But yeah, just, I deal with everything as it comes. So, say for example, going into an exam, going out of an exam or waiting for results, I'm not thinking about, oh my god, I better have gone really well in this exam or blah 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 blah, or I'm gonna cry, or you know, that sort of stuff. Just don't expect at all. Just cut out your ability to to have expectations whatsoever. I know it sounds a bit extreme. It sounds a bit extreme, but in the end, that's what's gonna minimize the emotional, not trauma, but like emotional hurt that, or and like self-criticism that can come out of this vicious cycle. All right, that brings us to our reflection questions. Now, if you're new here, I will ask these questions and you can either answer them or think about them in your head and pause if you'd like, or you can use them as journal prompts as well, which I really like to do. Okay. Do I know how to accept, learn, take action, and avoid expectations of my performance? Have I celebrated my improvement today? Have I celebrated my progress and looked at my mistakes without judgment? Is there something or someone who I need to dismiss in order to think of myself and my performance in a different way? The last one is especially applicable because I know that there are a lot of parents out there that put a lot of pressure on their kids to perform. And I'm not saying it's always the parents, and I'm not saying that's always the case, but I know that it is oftentimes the case. But after all that, if there's one thing I want you to remember that I most likely said in the in episode 8.2 is this: we are human beings, not human doings. Therefore, our worth is inherent simply by being. All right, that brings us to the end of this episode. If you listened this far, thank you so much. And don't forget to subscribe if you are... Subscribe, I think. I don't think subscribe is the word. Follow the podcast if you're a regular listener, and leave a review and some feedback because I love hearing you guys, and leave your rating also, And you can find me on Instagram at dear.bengra, where my DMs are also open to anyone who wishes to talk to me. Don't worry, I am quite friendly. And if you see me around, feel free to come and say hi, because I love it when you guys do that. So thank you again, and until next time on a teen's POV. Bye.